All right, we're going to go ahead and get started and call this meeting to order. It is Tuesday, May 15th, 2018, at 7:00 p.m. We are meeting in the Sierra Hills Community Recreation Center. We are going to start with a pledge given by myself and then an invocation given by a council member Anderson. So everyone will be here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this evening that we come together to city council meeting. We're thankful for the opportunity to have to serve in the city, and we're grateful for the residents that live here, who are so wonderful and supportive. We're grateful for this state that we get to live in and for all the things that we are blessed with. We ask that we have a productive and peaceful meeting and that we are that we will be able to return home to our homes and families and find all is well. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Next, I just need an approval of the agenda.
I move that we approve the agenda for the May 15th, 2018 council meeting.
Thank you. I have a motion made by Councilmember Miller. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Councilmember Anderson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes. So we will move on to the public comment portion of our meeting. Welcome, girls. I don't see anybody signed up, but is there anybody who would like to make public comment tonight? Come on up. I just need you to state your name and your address when you come up, and then you will have and you will have 3 minutes to say anything that you want to. And pull the microphone down too.
Hi, I'm Celeste Davis. I go to Deerfield. I don't know if that would be okay as a substitute for my address. And so a couple of days ago, the mayor came to our 2D days group and said a good way to get involved with our community would be to come to a city council meeting. And she told us about the new park that's going to go in. And so we'd just like to give some of our input. And I think some things that would be really fun. I think that the park would be a splash pad. I think that it is really gets really hot in the summer, and I think that it would be fun to have a splash pad and walking distance. And some of the spinning toys that they have at Alpine Park, I really enjoy those, and I think those are really fun. I also think that there's this thing at Linden Park, and it's called, I'm 99% sure it's called a Ninja Dome, but I don't know. It's where you can, choose these games, and then, there's buttons all over, and, you can press them, and it's fun games. I think I've seen some parks where there's, ropes, and, you can climb there. And I know this is a lot to ask, and I know that I will probably not get all of these things, but I think that some of these things would be really fun to have at the park. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. So cute.
All right, come on up.
My name's Lori Johnny, and I go to Cedar Ridge. So, in my opinion, I think that the new park, at my school, there's a slide where there's a lighter side you can run up and then climb over, and then there's another part of the slide that you can slide down, so I think that would be fun to have because a lot of kids at my school enjoy it. But same as Celeste, I also thought there should be a splash pad because, similar to Pioneer Park over in Provo, I thought that'd be fun just to cool off.
Thank you. I
Hi, my name is Bailey Smith. I live in Cedar Hills and love Deerfield. I think that we have Highland Park and that has a beautiful creek that kids love to go to. So I think that we should save our money and not have a splash pad because it's really expensive. And we should have a big park like Discovery Park that you can run, hide, and climb in that will attract bigger kids to come out of the house and stop playing video games. And that we should have a smaller section for the younger kids that might want to come and do it, to play on the park too. And I think that we should have things that every age could play on that will attract them, and that there should be drinking fountains there. But I think that there shouldn't be many swings and maybe a couple slides because every school has those and you play on them every day. So you might want something new. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Can everybody make one move on? We also have Cedar Hills resident Cindy Davis in the audience. And she is a candidate for state school board, which is an extremely important office that almost no one knows or cares about. So I want to ask her about that sometime.
Thank you. I think that'd be a caveat. She's actually a number four president.
Oh.
But we like to counter as ours. So
it's like in our boundaries. But
I am in your boundary. It's an odd situation.
It is kind of strange.
We have American board members etched into our houses, but Cedar Hills is a heart. My kids go to Cedar Hills, and then we go to church in Cedar Hills, and then even go to newspaper articles right here to try to find some great things going on in Cedar Hills. My heart is here.
Thank you. We thank you for running. That's an important position, so all right, well, we will...
Can I just say one thing, girls? I appreciate... What was your name again?
Brinley.
It's not easy to go against what other people have recommended, and so that's one good thing in politics, like in city council, we don't always agree. And so that's a good thing. I was really proud of you to say, you know, we don't need the splash pad, in my opinion. But that's good. So... That's good for you guys to have your opinions too, but I respect that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks. It is not easy to get up there and talk. So what do you do?
All right, we'll go ahead and close the public comment portion of our meeting. And again, I'm thrilled to see you guys out here, so thank you for being here. You can get a meeting to come in, it's going to be a whole. All right, so we will move on to item number 4 and 5, which are the consent agenda items. The first one being approving the minutes from the April 17, 2018 and May 1st, 2018 work session and city council meetings, and the appointment of Tracy Kerman to the Education Association Questionville Citizens Advisory Committee. So if I have someone who wants to make a motion on approving the consent agenda.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
I have a motion made by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is there a second?
Seconded
by Councilmember Geddes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. We'll move on to item number 6, which is city reports of business, starting with
A couple recreation items that Greg spoke about in the work session, but T-ball and coach pitch registration is now closed. We have 90 participants in coach pitch and 120 in T-ball, and we'll be starting that season in 2 weeks. Laurie Anderson, our rec coordinator, has started a new pickleball get-together, for lack of a better word, on Tuesdays, replacing the bingo that we did recently while it was cold outside. Today was the first time we've done it, and we had 12 people show up, so it looks like we're going to have to find a venue that can host people that want to play pickleball. But we're excited about the growth that that sport's seeing. And then lacrosse registration closes in 1.5 weeks. Registration right now is really low, and this may be the last year of for this program if we don't see participation numbers rise. So if you have interest in lacrosse, please tell your friends. We'd love to see more participation there. The weather has been hard on the golf course as it has rained on weekends, but we are excited about the prospect of better weather coming. And we have the Firecracker Golf Tournament on June 5th, and we'd love to have a full tournament. So if you're interested in putting together a team, get in touch with Wade Doyle at the Golf Pro Shop. And our food truck rally has begun, and we will be having that each Tuesday evening in Heritage Park. So we look forward to having them that night. That's all I have.
Thank you. Can I ask how bingo went? How did that go? Did you have good participation?
We had up to 10, what was it?
Started out, yeah, it got up to about 10, but then it dropped back down to about 4 or 5 a week.
Councilmember Anderson.
I have nothing to report.
Just want to remind everyone that this Saturday we have our annual service day for the city. This is a great service project for us to meet neighbors and people in our community and help out and do some service at some of our parks. We'll be meeting at Heritage Park at 10 a.m. on Saturday, and then there'll be groups that'll be split up to different projects within the city. So please bring, shovels, trowels, gloves, work stuff, rakes, and stuff. But I know that there's going to be a lot of planting, so you can bring shovels. And it goes from 10 to 1, and there'll be pizza for all of the volunteers when they work up a good hunger.
Thank you. As far as my updates go, you guys received my weekly email. The only thing I have since then is the Utah State Developmental Center Board. Developmental Center Board met last week on May 10th, and I went through and listened to that meeting. And a few of the key points from that: the board was really interested in doing a joint venture on that land, where they leased it and had kind of a joint venture with the developer. The assistant attorney general presented to the board and told them they can't do that because in the last legislative session, the resolutions that were passed by the state legislature said that they had to either sell or lease the land. So those are their only two options. They can't enter into a joint venture. He also let them know that the condition in those resolutions was that the board has to make their decision based on the best long-term financial interest to the developmental center. So some questions came up from the board of, well, what if somebody offers a lot of money, but it's something in use that we don't really like? And while they have some discretion, the attorney general reminded them, or assistant attorney general reminded them, that it specifically states they have to make a decision based on financial interest. That has to be the key item in their decision making. He said that they're not constrained to mixed-use development, and that they also can't go through the process that they have been, where they had put together a proposal, basically, and then they were going to send it out to request for qualifications and request for proposals. He said, instead of, you can't do it that way, you have to, because you're not procuring anything, you are disposing of something. So instead, you just have to issue a notice that you have property to dispose of and take bids in from anybody who's interested in purchasing that land. It may not be that mixed-use master plan that they put together. He gave some examples of it could be FedEx who comes and says, we want to put a huge distribution center there. Or it could be a farmer who is very wealthy and says, I want to farm the land, and so I'm going to, pay the most money for it in order to farm it. So he was trying to get them out of that mentality that it's going to look and feel a certain way because they have to base it on the.
I hear there's a farmer's market going in.
On the which of whatever comes out of the financial. He also let them know that, Senator Hemmer was there, and he really recommended that the board have somebody else go through and figure out what they would make if they leased the land versus sell it, and they sold it, if they invested it over a certain period of time, which one, from a financial standpoint, makes the most sense, and which one, again, is in the financial interest of the board. It was interesting because the board was not thrilled with those responses. They said that they wanted to stay and who their neighbors were, which I thought was funny because that's what we've been saying the whole time too. So they are going to, they did go into executive session and they came back out, and what they finally decided with the motion that was made was that they are going to have the Division of Facility Management surplus the property surplus property to and receive bids from whoever is interested in land. They don't have to accept any of those bids, but that's the process we're going to go through. So as far as setting up that master plan, that will no longer happen. that we'll just see what comes in from anyone who's interested in that land. He also let them know they don't have to sell all of it. They can sell some of it, lease some of it, they can hold on to some of it. There's nothing in it, so there has to be an all or nothing thing. They did talk about the road briefly. They were curious to see the stakes and the ownership of the road. UDOT has said they are not interested in taking on any additional roads, and so they will not be owning the road. So most likely what they will do is sell that land for the road, and then it will either be owned, if they do that, then that can fund it, and it will either be owned by the county or the city in which it resides. I'm guessing the county is also not going to be interested in taking ownership of any additional roads. So it would be Highland for now. However, he also let them know that they've got to figure out sooner rather than later if it's going to be American Fork or Highlands. According to the attorney, he felt that American Fork was in a better position to provide the infrastructure that it needs. That's not something that we're going to weigh in on because that doesn't impact us. But anyway, so that was, I think, good news from where things were a little while ago. I think it's given them better direction of what they need to do. So we will continue to participate in those discussions and make sure that Cedar Hills residents have a voice and are heard as far as what happens with that land. Oh, and he did also let them know if they sell it, they can no longer mandate what happens. It has to go under the city, wherever it is, the city will have the discretion to approve it according to their own city ordinances. So, and he also let them know if they leased it, any revenue coming in would go to the board, the bill at Nelson Board, it would go to the state. And so that is the only update that I have. Councilman Fagetis. Oh, sorry. Yes, we met on the board met last week in Lone Peak Fire. We did approve the budget, which is a 15% increase for us.
Whereabouts?
A little bit less than we were talking about.
A little bit less from the previous meeting. Yes, we did explain to Chief Thompson that this was going to be the only year that we could do a double-digit increase like that. So. That's going to be a huge hit to our budget, but that was approved by the board unanimously. And then, of course, we have RFPs out for all of our public safety services, and we are anticipating that we will be voting on those at our June 19th meeting.
Well, that takes care of what I
okay. Councilmember Bailey. Councilmember Ellsworth. All right. So we will move on to item number 8, which is a review action on resolution certifying authorized users to access and transact with the Utah Public Treasurer's Investment Fund on behalf of the City of Cedar Hills. And Chief Bigman is presenting.
Right, this is a resolution that, as stated before in the work session, puts in place certain controls required by the State of Utah for accessing the public funds that are part of the Public Treasurer's Investment Fund. Public Treasurer's Investment Fund, PTIF for short, is the investment fund that the city invests money in. And what will happen with this under this new online management platform is that with two users, each user will be notified of any changes or alterations or proposed anything to do with transacting any money on the PTIF account. Both users will be notified of what the others are doing. What this does is it puts in place a control that will prevent fraud. It decreases that opportunity for any sort of bad behavior. So the incentivizing and not giving that access. So this is the resolution that's been proposed is actually from the Utah Office of the State Treasurer. Any questions on that resolution?
So I was just reading the resolution. I think that there's an error in there.
Is it one that says title?
Yeah.
We caught that one already.
The only other one that I caught too was on your email. There's .org after Cedar Hills.
You want to shut up. We'll fix that. I don't want the Chandler's email.
No, mine, it's on Charles. Mine just has a plus and it's too long.
It was one of those fillable forms.
Okay, well, I wasn't eating yours, but yeah,
the plus is there.
Yeah, so.
What is it?
Jenny, we'll fix it before you sign it.
Just in case there's more information beyond the bill.
Okay. Any questions on that resolution? If not, I will take a motion.
I move that we approve resolution
5-15-2018-A, certifying authorized users to access and or transact with Utah Public Treasures Investment Fund, PTIF, on behalf of the City of Cedar Hill, subject to the changes that we just talked about.
I have a motion by Councilmember Geddes. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Councilmember Anderson. We need a roll call vote. Councilmember Anderson?
Aye.
Councilmember Miller?
Aye.
Councilmember Geddes?
Aye.
Councilmember Bailey?
Yes.
Councilmember Ellsworth?
Aye.
The motion passes unanimously. We will move on to our final agenda item, which is a review action authorizing an agreement to allow a farmer's market in Cedar Hills at Heritage Park. Mr. Bailey's presenting.
And we have our applicant, Kelly Carter, and his wife in the audience as well. Kelly is one of our watch technicians. So for a number of years, since we started the food truck rally, before then, we've had interest from the community, from within the community, to do some sort of farmer's market to explore this option. And it kind of has just never been, I don't say feasible, just there hasn't been a staff time to dedicate to something like this. But where Mr. Carter is already in touch with the farmer's market, with the vendors in the farmer's market, and knows who the vendors are, can easily bring those vendors to Cedar Hill. So he proposed this agreement that they've worked out with Springville. Now, the farmer's market would begin late July, early July, early August.
Mid-July,
excuse me. And run through, it looks like the end of October. And what we're proposing is that this farmer's market occur in Heritage Park on Wednesday nights. And we're going to set it up, we're proposing to set it up, it's very similar to how our food truck rally is set up, where in the case of the food truck rally, we have a lead food trucks that works with the vendors to get the vendors into, or the food trucks into the spot and work out the calendar on who's going to be where each week. And the vendors, the food trucks, then pay the Utah League food trucks a small fee to be there that week, and Utah League will advertise for them in order to bring customers there. The city does not expend any funds as part of the food truck run. And so what we're proposing is to do it very similar to that, where we turn over control of the farmer's market over to Sunset Market, Sunset Farmer's Market, and allow them to seek out those vendors and have the vendors come to Sunset Farmers for the chance to be a vendor in our farmer's market, giving preference to local vendors. Am I missing anything, John?
We actually have a list.
Okay, why don't you come up here?
So I have been working with the farmer's market for 6 years. I'm actually a produce farmer, so I raise a lot of produce. But this year we had the opportunity to take over an existing market that I've been working with the past 3 years. And we rebranded it, and we've actually grown the market as to how many vendors we have already signed up for our two existing markets. And we have 20 vendors currently interested in doing the Cedar Hills market, from farming to fresh baked bread, eggs, honey. There's some food vendors that want to do on-site food, which it's a benefit to the city residents, and it's a zero cost to the city itself. We provide our own liability insurance and do all the scheduling. So I'd love to bring it up to this area. We've had a lot of interest from, we actually posted it on our website. We've already had residents commenting that they would like the market up here, not just vendors. So if you guys have any questions for me.
I posted it to Facebook today, and I think it's the only thing I've ever seen a unanimous statement from residents on. Any questions from the council?
So I have a question. I'm looking at this agreement, your promotion agreement that we have a copy of in it. So it says they're going to start setting up at 10 a.m. Is this an all-day market?
It runs from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Okay.
Setups usually from 4 to 5.
Okay, so this
and then
this
everything's cleaned up
here
by 10 o'clock. It must be a typo. We actually took over the existing contract that the previous owner of the market had. That's what you have a copy of. The new contract for Springville City is actually going through council right now, so I couldn't get you a copy of it yet.
That's okay. That's right. No, that, but I thought he might have trouble getting people that are all day long, but the evening is great.
And we like to get entertainment there as well, acoustic music, that kind of stuff, which Heritage, we have the amphitheater set up right there. It would be a great fit.
So I have a couple of questions. Do you have enough space? I mean, are you just going to... The parking lot's really small, but that's always been a problem.
So there's lots of parking along Cedar Hills Drive right there. Yeah. And there's two separate parking lots for Heritage. I think we'll have plenty of parking space. The booths would actually be set up on the grass.
Yeah, okay.
So all of that parking space, which is used up at the food truck rally, would be open for people to park in.
And then my only other question was on your price list. We've got community and nonprofit organization. So what does community mean? What would be the definition of that?
So we have a couple nonprofit that they donate any proceeds to the community. We also have another nonprofit that sells artwork that comes from Africa, and the money goes back to Africa to support the people producing the artwork.
So, but if you grow anything and you want to sell your things, that's always free?
It's free. It's really hard to get produce farmers to sell produce in Utah County, because they can take it to Salt Lake, the Pioneer Market in Salt Lake, and get three times the amount of money that they get for it down here. Which I prefer to do evening markets, just because it's a different atmosphere than a Saturday morning market. It's more of a date night atmosphere versus everyone in a hurry to get stuff done. So you get to interact with people, you can get to know how you're growing your produce, not just, I want that, let's go. So anybody that produces their own produce is more than welcome to set up a booth with us.
Great. So the park is kind of tucked in over the ways there. What's your advertising and signage going to look like? Or is it like
we have banners, posters, flyers. We want to advertise on social media. I was discussing having a gray float in the family festival. So we'd love to get as much advertising as possible. We can do banners just like the Family Festival does up on the Bow Strip, and we can put them out every day, take them down. It's mostly word of mouth for a farmer's market, honestly. It's, you have to get established and people start coming every week because they want fresh produce.
Yes?
I have one question, legally. Would you ever exclude someone? Like, what if somebody homemade ice cream or homemade kombucha or
as long as they have the licensing and the permits to sell the item that they're trying to sell, we don't exclude anyone. We're pretty broad.
The more vendors you have.
The more vendors, the better. It's a bigger draw. It just helps everybody out in the end. Which we also, with the Springville Market, we offer food stamps as well. They do a food sense with the state of Utah. There's a department that's called Food Sense, and they do a double up box program with the EDT. So if you come to the market and run your EDT for $10, they double the amount of money you can spend at the market on fresh fruits and produce. But that's one of the reasons Springville City budgets the market is helped pay for that program, which we're trying to bring into the other programs, but it's costly, especially on the first year with less sales.
Any other questions from the council? If not, I will take a motion. This motion is subject to any changes.
I'm aware.
Okay, then I'll make a motion. Are you finished, Chandler, or do you have more to say?
I was going to ask Kelly, to the matter of, are we basing our agreement off of the Springville agreement?
We can actually write up a new agreement if you'd like to cater to Cedar Hills. I have an agreement with the Moore Mall that is a far simpler agreement than the Springville.
Well, I think we can use the Springville agreement as the base, the bare bones, and work from there. I'd like it to have the dates that the farmers market's out there. I'd like to get that. Clause 4 about payments, I'd like that removed. But other than that, I mean, going through that, I'll have Joel take a look at it as well for anything that I'm missing. But I think that's the one I would propose using as the strength one. And I think if you give me a soft copy of it, I can do that change line.
So, Councilmember Addison, taking your motion, just make it subject to review by city manager and legal.
Okay. All right, then I will make that motion to approve the mayor to enter into an agreement with Sunset Farmers Market to establish and run a farmers market in Cedar Hills for 2018, subject to review by the city manager and the city attorney.
So the motion made by Councilmember Addison. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Miller. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Council, if you are okay with me offering this, we actually have two candidates who are here tonight, and if you're interested, I would be willing to let you speak for a couple of minutes if you'd like to the council.
I'd love that.
If you want to, you don't have to.
Go for it. Brady's going to go first.
All right.
I was actually just coming to observe. I wasn't expecting to speak, but I'm happy to. My name is Brady Bremer, and I reside in Highland, Utah, and I'm running for State House, C-27, it's the seat that Mike Kennedy has been in. I'm in a primary right now, and I'm a Republican. My background is that I'm an attorney. I have a master's in public administration. I represent various cities as well as businesses throughout the Western United States. Mostly in civil litigation. The reason why I'm running is ever since I graduated from school in 2008, I've been involved in public service in one way or another. Service is one of my core values. I've been on the Planning Commission for the last 5 years in Highland. I've been serving on the Plan Giving Committee for the Primary Children's Hospital, on the Board of Directors for the Great Outdoors Fund, where they find recreational land and help restore it and enable people to recreate on the land as much as possible. I'm running because this is another opportunity to serve. And whether I win or not, I will continue doing public service one way or another. It's been a fantastic experience. One of the priorities that I have is the East-West Corridor, which I think, even though Cedar Hills is not necessarily always on the land, on the discussions on it, because it's not within the Cedar Hills limits, and it doesn't look like it's subject annexation into Cedar Hills, although you never know. I do think that it impacts Cedar Hills in a disproportionate way. And I'm very concerned with it. And I first learned of the plans and what they were trying to do when I was on the Planning Commission. And I've been a very vocal voice against the development side of it, and a very vocal voice in favor of the road side of it. And my background with those issues related to the land use and all of that, I've litigated a lot of cases involving similar issues. And I feel like it brings a unique perspective. I'm not a one-issue candidate. I do have strong feelings on public education. I would consider myself the more pro-public education advocate on this in this election. Specifically, I think that sometimes in the Republican Party we tend to be, whether fairly or not, perceived as anti-public education, and I don't think that that's necessarily what we want to be. 95 to 98% of the children in this district attend public education. And so I think it's important that we work hand in hand with the local leaders on public education to make sure that our kids are able to effectively arrive in positions that are family sustaining jobs. Do you guys have any questions for me specifically on the positions or I can tell you.
Thanks for having me to the East West Corridor.
Yeah, you know, real quick, there have been some recent developments, some things that I've been kind of screaming into the wind. It feels like their developmental center board does not seem to listen quite as effectively as some. There's some agendas on there that are a little bit difficult to deal with. But they, the state AGs has gone along with essentially what I've been advocating for a while, that their proposal of we create the plan and we put it out for someone else to fulfill the plan on this land is not the proper way to do it. They have surplus land, they need to put it out for proposal, and they need to have developers come and say how they intend to use it, and then they evaluate that. And they would still evaluate that under the way that it's currently set up, they would still evaluate that under the obligations of what is most favorable to the USDC and to the developmental center. However, that is far different than them trying to be the developer, to still own the land, to try to fit 1,000 homes or 1,000 residences and units on 143 acres, not providing any means for the proper collection of property taxes to service all of the students in that area, all of the emergency services, you know, everything that goes into that, that I think that tax burden falls, if they were to get their way, extremely poorly. It falls on Cedar Hills, it falls on Highland, it falls on American Fork, and they bear the brunt of that. And all of our taxes go up to support a development that isn't paying its fair share of taxes. Now, normally you don't have Republicans saying fair share of taxes, that kind of thing. I get that. But in this case, we have a state agency that's trying to act like a land developer, and it's just not the proper role. So,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Here I thought my activity day girls were going to be in the hot seat, and I was just chillaxing back there. My name is Cindy Davis, and I'm running for state school board, and I am passionate about public education. I have spent my career, I started teaching 25 years ago. I was a teacher, I have been a principal, I've worked at a district level. I currently work at Utah Valley University. It's part-time now, because most of the time I'm being a mom and loving it, but I also am working part-time supervising student teachers and interns. And what Brady said is accurate, and I appreciate him. I've seen him out and about really trying to learn about educational issues. I appreciate that. But it's not only our district. I mean, over 95% of our state, our parents really have the most influence in their children's education, but 95% plus of those are choosing public education, which means a district school or a charter school that combines with our public education system in the state. And I just think we need people to stand up and be strong supporters of our schools, but also recognize there are changes that can be made to and improvements that can always be made as well. I'm running for District 9, which is the seat that Joel Wright, Board Member Wright, is vacating in January. And I'll just say that this is where my heart is. And I won't take a lot of your time today, but you can look at CindyDavisForSchoolBoards.com if you want to learn more. Just know that I want to see good things for the children in this state. If we don't step up and have a great public education system, it will impact all of us, whether we have kids in it or not, economically, socially, our communities. It's a big deal, and it has far-reaching impacts for all of us. So, thank you.
Thank you. Before we adjourn, I just wanted to tell the girls I took notes of everything that you said, and I will send them to the Parks and Trails Committee so they have that feedback as they're talking about the park. So If you have anything else, I told you guys you should email us as well if you have any other thoughts that come up. So, and if you want to come to a more exciting meeting, so June 19th is going to be an exciting one. So, yeah, you don't want to take the whole, it's going to be a long one, it's going to be an exciting one. So, all right, I will take a motion to adjourn.
I move to be adjourned.
Motion is made by Councilmember Ellsworth. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Miller. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we are done for the night. Thank you.